then see if you can guess what command we're doing today. So if any guesses? The command we're looking at, Ryan Lotke here, is not the command, but he should have heard the command, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, you should not bear false witness, you shouldn't lie. The positive of this is this, you shall speak the truth on behalf of your neighbor, and for that matter, on behalf of yourself. When Lotke kept saying over and over again, I over-exaggerated, which is a weird thing to say, over-exaggerated is the exaggeration, you know, anyways. It's a weird thing to say. He should have simply said, I lied. We all find ourselves in positions where we don't always tell the truth. Now, lying is not uncommon to mankind. I read the list of the top 10 lies. The 10th is, we'll only stay for 5 minutes. The 9th, and I've been a part of this many, many times, this will be a short meeting. The 8th, I'll respect you in the morning. The seventh is, the check is in the mail. The 6th, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. The 5th, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And the 4th, your money will be cheerfully refunded. 3rd, we service what we sell. The 2nd, your table will be ready in a minute. And the number 1 of the 10 here are, I'll start exercising or dieting tomorrow. Isn't it sad in a way that we live in a world where we can get so cynical about the truth? With our politics, advertising, all the hype. I read of a poll in 1976, a U.S. poll, that showed 69% of Americans believed that the country's leaders had constantly lied to the people, or consistently, rather. I kind of wondered, what would that percentage be in this election cycle? Right? A little bit different. Here's the big problem. On your outline, I have. If you want to fill in the blanks, feel free to do this on your outline. Untruth eats away at the very fiber of relationships and community. Untruth eats away at the very fiber of relationships and community. Charles Sweezy, he's a professor of ethics, and he put it this way, and I quote, life is not possible without a minimal trust in the veracity of words, the trustworthiness of words. The promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth is absolutely critical for a just society. And it's absolutely critical for any healthy relationship. The Hebrew words used in this command are legal words. Ed sheker. Ed meaning evidence, and then sheker is about false or fraudulent or groundless information. And the judge of all the earth is telling us, he's telling us that justice, and in that sense, freedom, is undermined by lies. This is why God guided Moses to even some safeguards. Once giving this command, he added a few steps on that. I put them on your outline just so you can see. Deuteronomy 19:15, he said this, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. And that's just good common sense. And then on top of that, Deuteronomy 19, we read this. Then do to the false witness as that witness intended to do to the other party. You must purge this evil from among you. So basically lie, and it turns out you lied, you get the jail time. Okay, that's what that's kind of saying. And then this, and this is a strong one. Deuteronomy 17, the hands of the witness must be the first in putting that person to death, and then the hands of all the people. Basically, imagine this. The witness becomes the executioner in these times. I'm not suggesting that's the way we ought to do things. I'm just saying that's what was said here. If I lie, and this guy is put to death because of my testimony, I become really the murderer. Now, this goes beyond the legal world. I mean, doesn't it feel like life is full of judgment often anyway? We're somehow evaluated and scrutinized, and at times unfairly. I think we've all felt that at times. How often and quickly our behavior is wrongly interpreted by others, and I might say how often and quickly we wrongly interpret the behavior of others. And people get hurt, and reputations get damaged. And God says to his people, we read in Leviticus 19, do not lie. He says a little further on, do not deceive one another. The Proverbs puts it this way, with his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. Words have power to them. They do, and false words as well. This command is about lies, but it's more than that. It's about sharing and passing on stories about someone without checking the facts or considering harm done. And this is so easy, and I think one of the easiest places to do it is on Facebook, for example. I'm sometimes shocked at the amount of criticism that gets thrown out by some, you know, on things like Facebook. And sad to say, churches are guilty in this too. We assume facts. We're quick to make quick judgments. Rumors get spread. Gossip gets spread. Innuendos get spread. And then, sometimes in the Christian world, we try to subtly cover up this false witnessing by praying for that other person instead of praying for repentance. I can remember in certain circumstances in my past where you heard these terribly passive-aggressive prayers between conflicting sides. You know, basically saying something like this, Lord, Lord, may you grant them eyes to see and ears to hear your truth. Basically, it's code for, let them see the truth as I see it, because that's the only way they ought to see it. We use these prayers in a passive-aggressive way. And all of this destroys community. All of this destroys relationships. Relationships are built on trust. All relationships at all kinds of levels. I read this story in 1993. It said, when port authorities in New York and New Jersey ran a help-wanted ad for electricians with expertise at using Sontag connectors, it got 170 responses, even though there's no such thing as a Sontag connector. And the authorities ran the ad to find out how many applicants falsify their resumes. 170 people applied saying they knew exactly what to do with Sontag connectors. Here's Paul's summary, and it comes into play here. We read in Romans 13:8. Look at it with me. Remain outstanding, except, and hear this, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. It's a lot like what Jesus said, right? You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbor, love yourself. I mean, it's that kind of thing. Love is the whole point of this. And love requires honesty. John 1:17. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Very fascinating verse. For Jesus, it was never just truth. It's truth with grace. On your outline, truth without grace quickly becomes legalism. On the other side, grace without truth quickly becomes sentimental relativism. Talk everything kind of right. There's no wrong anymore. And we fall into that trap a lot in our society nowadays too. But on the other hand, truth without grace, that turns to legalism and unkindness and so forth and so on. And it's not out of love. Ephesians 4, Paul writes, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Right? You can get caught up in some of this stuff. Instead, here's what we do. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. You want to be like Christ, speak the truth, but do it in love. But do it in love. And this command, like all the others, reflects the very character of God himself. The psalmist writes in Psalm 89, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. God is the God of truth and love. Yahweh cannot lie. In Titus, we read, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, because it's not of his character, promised before the beginning of time. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. So this truth thing really matters. But then Scripture says it in these kinds of terms. And I always love this imagery. God is a God of light. And lying is falsehood. And it's about darkness. It's about hiding, about covering up. You think of the original creation story, right? Adam and Eve get caught and they fall into sin. And right away, it's about hiding. It's about covering themselves up. It's about blame. This is what lying is about. God enlightens. 1 John 1:5, look at it with me. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And then another verse about Satan. He, Satan, is a liar and the father of lies. And we have that contrast. Darkness is the anti-God state of being. When you practice or you live a life that is a lie, you're stuck in this anti-God state of being. And it's not surprising to find Jesus' harshest words spoken against hypocrites. Hypocrisy is basically speaking maybe the truth, but your very lives are the very opposite of what truth you speak. This is God's desire for you. And the psalmist says it rather well, Psalm 139. And pray this prayer for your lives. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting. And that way of everlasting, it's about truth and grace. It's about truth and grace. To live out of truth and grace leads to integrity and love at the same time. How? I'm going to give you a few pointers. A few pointers on how you live that out. The first is this, by biting my tongue. By biting my tongue. Finish this line for me. Parents, you'll recognize it. And how many of you have had parents? You might recognize it in your past too. If you have nothing good to say, say nothing at all, right? I need to bite my tongue before I speak. Maybe you do too. I need that 10 to 20 seconds to think sometime and ask myself the question, is this true? And is this helpful if I pass it on or if I comment on it? The tongue reveals the heart. Richard Foster, a wonderful Christian writer, said, the tongue is a thermometer. It tells of our spiritual temperature. And then he goes on. It is also a thermostat. It controls our spiritual temperature. Psalm 141, verse 3. Look at it with me. The psalmist says, set a guard over my mouth. Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. How many of you need a guard for your mouth? Another way, how do I live this truth and grace stuff out? Well, I can bite my tongue, but second point, by plugging my ears. By plugging my ears. Romans 1, it gives a list of things that are bad in terms of life. They, people who have given themselves over to deceit and so forth, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are filled with envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. And then this, they are gossips. That's a pretty ugly list. And in it is thrown gossip. We don't get a listing. Here's some real horrible consequences. Oh, and then there's these little sins like gossip. No, no, it's in the list. Murder, slander, horribleness, and gossip. It's part of that whole thing. 2 Timothy, we read too. These people are without love, unforgiving, and then slanderous. Right? They pass stuff on. They ruin reputations without self-control. Brutal, not lovers of good. Right? Will Rogers, a very comical and clever man, said this, rumor travels fast, but it don't stay put as long as truth. It's true, isn't it? What does it mean then to plug my ears? Simply refuse to listen to hearsay and to rumors and to innuendo and gossip. It's a good question, right? There's this fine line of receiving information about someone and there's concern. I would say gossip is you hear information and it's juicy. It's that information that has a sense of you really, you know, when you ask the question, should I be hearing this? It's one thing somebody comes up to me and says, Sid, you know, I don't know if you heard about so-and-so and I'm really concerned and would you please pray for them because I'm so worried for them. I think there could be a lot of love in that. But it's like, oh man, you hear about so-and-so. I think we know it when we say it. Is that helpful? Okay. All right. I appreciate that. By the way, I'm a former teacher for many years, so the question-answer thing works for me. So, you know, I don't mind that at all. Thank you. I think that question, should I be hearing this? And I think there the guidance of the Holy Spirit comes into play. I think we'll know. And then the second question, you might hear this, you're not sure about this, then ask yourself, should I be sharing this? That's a whole other question again. And then, okay, so having bit my tongue to buy some time to do some thinking, and having plugged my ears, at least attempting to keep out the stuff I shouldn't be talking about or sharing, I need to do this. I need to put myself in the other's shoes. I need to put myself in the shoes of the liar. I need to ask myself, why are they exaggerating and distorting the truth this way? You know, I started with a picture of Ryan Lochte. He's been, I like the late night talk shows and all that kind of stuff. He's been a sport unto himself lately on the comedy circuits. I get it. There's a lot of ego there, and you know he kind of brought it on himself to some extent. When Candy and I were watching the news and over again about Lochte, I think our response ought to be sadness. I don't think it ought to be a time. I think for some it's enjoying the train wreck. I don't think that's the appropriate response. I just have to look at myself. Lying can come out of my inadequacy. Sometimes I need to prop up my ego. Or sometimes I need to feel better about myself so I put somebody else down. More often, I'm fearful. If people really knew me, they wouldn't like me. So I make sure I show a false me. I remember talking to a good friend of mine who passed away, Jerry DeVos. She's a principal, a very strong personality. And her and I would talk. We were accountability partners as well as great friends. And we often talked about, you know, boy, if people only knew. You know, there's this voice inside of us. If people only knew what I was really like, they wouldn't want me to lead them. I'm not saying I'm hiding all kinds of stuff, so don't overread this, okay? But it's true, isn't it? You know, as a pastor, you know, there's expectations. There's a sense of living, you know, above the norm. And yet I feel so obviously and perfectly normal most of the time, too. I need to learn. Maybe it starts here especially. I need to learn to find out the truth about me. I don't know if you go down that path where you know some of the stuff, you know, when Ken asked us to have a moment of confession of sins and you make it personal. And I'm sure everyone could come up with some stuff. But then the matter of what do I do with that stuff, because I think Satan sometimes takes that stuff and then makes me dump on myself all the more. What kind of garbage am I to keep messing all this up? And so I pile on. When I went for about a year and a half of counseling, you know, there was that sense of counseling, really, it's just getting to know yourself. It's really all it is, which is profound. It's profound. You know, it's about coming. I use that image of light. It's about coming into the light. About coming into the presence of the light of the world. That's why the psalmist says, and what a courageous thing to say, search me, know me, test me, show me what's going on here. Because I don't always know what's going on here. You show me. Joy Davidson, a writer, said, the greatest and first of man's lies are usually those he tells himself. I think that's true. You know, you buy your own lie. So much so that you live like it's true. John 3:20, the writer says, everyone who does evil, and evil is a loaded word. Just put in there the stuff that you wouldn't want to keep doing. Everyone who does evil hates the light. Why? They won't come in the light. Why? For fear that their deeds will be exposed. If I were to say to you, we're going to show a video clip of your entire life with everything in it, every thought you've ever had, how many of you would be comfortable showing the video? This sounds threatening, doesn't it? Search me, know me, get into the light. This sounds threatening, but it's truth, and here's the key, it's truth and grace. The truth will set you free. Yeah, it can be hard to hear the truth sometimes, but it always leads to this profound truth. You are, the story tells us from the beginning, you are God's image bearers. That's who you are. The lies aren't who you are. You are God's image bearers. And God says, you're my son. You're my daughter. And God says, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's what God says. That's the truth. God came to us while we were yet sinners. That's what Scripture says. Not when we'd cleaned up our act. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, there's that light of truth with the warmth of grace coming off it. If we walk into that light, exposing who we are, if we walk in that light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. We have fellowship with one another. Real fellowship, not I got to fool you, you got to fool me. Real fellowship. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purified us from all sin. There's the grace. There's the grace. And then the truth. And here's the truth. Jesus promises it. Then the truth is you will have life in all its fullness. But until such time, you won't. And we can live in His presence because He shows us who we are ultimately. You are not defined by your sin. You're defined by who Jesus says you are. A son, a daughter, child of God, an image bearer. We're going to have communion now. I think it's quite fitting. Paul says this about communion, 1 Corinthians 11. I use the version, The Voice. I kind of liked how they said it. Paul says, and after giving thanks, He, Jesus, broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Keep doing this so that you and all who come after will have a vivid reminder of me. And after they had finished dinner, he took the cup, and in the same way, this is the cup of the new covenant executed in my blood. Keep doing this, and whenever you drink it, you and all who come after will have a vivid reminder of me. Every time you taste this bread, every time you place the cup to your mouths and drink, you are declaring the Lord's death, which brings you life, which is the ultimate expression of his faithfulness and love until he comes again. Jesus said of himself, he said this. He said, I am the way, I am the truth. Notice he didn't say, I just speak the truth. I am the truth, and I am the life. The one, Jesus, Yeshua, he became one of us. And throughout his whole life, he experienced false witnesses who spoke and said false things about his birth, about his character, his sermons, his words. And even at his trial, no one was listened to except the false witnesses. Except the false witnesses. And it resulted in his execution on a cross. Now, earlier I had read from Deuteronomy where it says the one who lies is going to receive the punishment that was, so all those ones who gave false witness by law would be crucified. And yet this is what Jesus said. If you look at this next slide. We have that. Yet Jesus, it said out of Isaiah, it said, yet Jesus said, nothing. Not a word came from his mouth. Isaiah speaks of a lamb led to the slaughter. He said nothing. The one who had every right to say anything and everything, he said nothing. He opened not his mouth. Think about that. Wouldn't you want to cry out the truth? I'm not guilty. These guys who lied, they're guilty. What they're saying about me isn't true. Crucify them. He said nothing. Then he went on to say, he says now, he said it on the cross, his Father, forgive them. Why? They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. This isn't an accident. They don't understand that this lying and this deception is actually killing them. It's actually killing them. The one who rightly could condemn doesn't. Why? Because he is the truth. He is the evidence of love and truth and grace. I invite all of you who would love to partake of this communion to accept that love and grace.